Well, welcome everybody. Happy Friday. I'm Jeff Beaupre, and you're listening to KRDO News, the Business Week in Review. Thanks to TJ for a little Halloween music. This is our annual Halloween show. We're going to sit around and tell some scary stories about business and obviously cyber. We have the whole crew. Well, a lot of them are going to phone in. It's kind of interesting. I guess it all piles up around Halloween. I've got one coming back from Singapore, one heading to Europe. So they all have their great stories, and we're going to be sharing them with you this morning. If you have any questions, by all means, send us a note on the main webpage, which is businessweekinreview.com. And let's start off with a few cyber and business bites first, and then Rob Slee is going to join us from Robertson Foley. He's got a few stories to tell as well. I guess first and most important one is the Windows update. Everybody's been asking about, what do I do with Windows 10? We're promised by Microsoft that they will have the update out in November, so it's going to be a little bit of a wait yet. They're trying to clean up a number of issues with drivers that killed sound, couldn't open files, lost some files, a little bit of everything, so stay tuned on that one. It's supposed to be out in November, and we'll keep you up to speed on that one. Also, if anybody has been traveling to Hong Kong recently, flying on Cathay Pacific, great airline, but they just announced that they have had a major breach. They exposed 9.1 million customer records, including credit card data, addresses, and things like that. It occurred in May, and they've been sitting on it this entire time. So if you've been flying on Cathay Pacific from the May timeframe, you really want to be keeping track of things along the way on that one. And it goes along with an Anthem follow-up. I think we mentioned on last week's program about Anthem and the $16 million fine surrounding that. We're starting to see some of these fines come out, and it's starting to drive home the point about cybersecurity, that businesses really need to pay attention, be aware of these kinds of issues. And I know Rob is going to be talking a lot about that and some information around that. Why don't we go ahead and add Rob to the discussion? Rob Slee is president of Robertson Foley out of North Carolina. He's dialed in this morning. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. I'm here. I was just about to get over to my cancel a few credit cards because I do fly Cathay a lot.
Are you I made your whole Friday already, huh?
Yeah, I've flown them for years. I've never had a problem. The service is great, but it's not so great if you get hacked, right?
Yeah, they're a great airline, and but they've been doing this, they've been doing it. The breach occurred back in May. So, okay, Rob, that's your first project. Is if we go to break, is cancel your credit cards.
Yes, it's it. Yeah.
But okay. And it goes to the point, and why I wanted to bring you in a little bit early is there is a new study out of one of the one of our security periodicals that talks about 20%. Of customers of any organization do not return to them after that company has been breached. It goes to, you know, loss of credibility, loss of reputation for a business when they get hacked. And it's not just recovering information and paying fines and things like that. It hits you in the bottom line.
I've been really disappointed, especially with Equifax and a couple of the titans when they got breached. And A, they sat on it, but B, they didn't pay the financial penalty in the marketplace. And I'm trying to decide if just so many breaches have happened in the last couple of years that the market isn't going to just run one of these out of business. But so far, it's been that part of it. The penalties are picking up, but the sort of the market whiplash hasn't happened as much as I thought it would with these breaches.
And that's so true, and we've got to be putting something in place. And I think some of these new laws coming in, the new Colorado one, the GDPR out of Europe, is going to have to have some teeth in it before people start paying attention. And it goes, I'm going to add to your indigestion this morning, Rob. I just got a text, Mr. Don Coffey, who's one of our A-team members in security. He's on an aircraft somewhere over the Pacific coming back from Singapore, and I have a text from him. He says, I shouldn't be able to do this. I won't mention the airline, but it's a screenshot of his computer. He brought up the Wi-Fi to do some work. And, of course, all of us security people, first thing we do is run our scan tools to see, you know, is it a secure. He could see all of the laptops on the aircraft.
No. No. Yeah.
And so, you know, even the airlines is like, okay, you're in a confined space for, I don't know, what is that flight from Singapore, like 14 hours?
Oh, it's forever.
Forever. And all of these laptops are exposed. Now, the tough part is, we always say, you never use the hotel Wi-Fi or wherever you're at. You always tether your phone. Well, there's no place to tether your phone when you're 35,000 feet out in the ocean.
I have a big issue with all of this personally, because I've never mentioned it to you, but I'm a major cryptocurrency trader. So there you go. And I can't, obviously, I can't ever trade or expose any of my data in any sort of public setting. And so I'm very confined in when and where I can trade my crypto. I'm a blockchain guy, not a coin, not a general coin guy. I really understand the blockchain, I think. And so we'll see. That'll be a mistake show for about 6 weeks out. Why did Rob trade cryptocurrency?
Yeah, speaking of scary stories. Well, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll come back, and Rob has got plenty of stories. We're going to talk more about the business and some of the cyber, you know, as I say, sharing the scars over time and passing on some information, hopefully, to the businesses. You know, don't repeat our mistakes. But you're listening to KRDO News Radio, the Business Week in Review. It is 9:15 on Friday morning. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Popre, host for the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. Thanks to TJ for our little Halloween treats along the way. Before we went to break, I was talking with Rob Slee of, you're the president of Robertson Foley. So, yeah, we're always trying to keep you in trouble or something like that. But my first question is, did you get all your credit cards checked while we're at the break?
You know, when you said what you said before I came on, I wondered why I had three credit cards, three different companies, send me new credit cards in the last couple of weeks. And I didn't prompt that. I didn't see anything on the statement to say, hey, you know, we have a breach. They saw this coming and were just trying to get in front of it. So,
well, good for them, yeah.
What a world we live in here. I got to tell you, I think about it constantly. It's like I said, in the crypto world, you have to have, you know, three-level verification and everything else, because the scammers are out, you know, out there trying to rip you off. But I guess that's true in everything.
It's so true. You know, and the first takeaway for the day is, you know, again, for people who are just tuning in, Cathay Pacific announced a major breach that occurred back in May and has been going on, 9.1 million accounts compromised. So keep an eye on those credit cards. Not sure where it's going to end up yet, but they've got some angry customers, I'm sure. And we talk about other takeaways and some of the stories, Rob, that you and I have collected over the years. Don Coffey, just give me another one here. And we talk about human error. It's the biggest thing we run into in terms of malware and phishing emails and things like this. Don is sharing a story. They were brought in to one of the eastern states, I won't mention the specific state, to do a review of backup processes. They found backup tapes stored in a closet, floor to ceiling, not encrypted. It had, you know, I hear Rob laughing already. All the data was unencrypted. There was payroll data, welfare data, everything of PII. And they decided that they better get some of these out of this closet. So they loaded them in the back of a pickup truck. Apparently, the employee at the time decided to stop on the way to the warehouse for a drink and got arrested for DUI. And the entire back end of the pickup truck is loaded with these unencrypted backup tapes.
Oh, goodness. Oh. Well, I have to admit, in any of my businesses, we've never had anything quite that ridiculous.
Yeah, and awful. Of course, they impounded the pickup truck, and this all these tapes are sitting there, you know, basically in the open for, you know, I don't know how many days. He didn't say how many days it was open.
But, right.
You know, and it goes, it's the same thing with laptops. So, you know, another takeaway, people travel with laptops all the time. Make sure you're traveling with one that has been set up for travel. You're not carrying, you know, financial data, customer data on that, and make sure that the hard drive is encrypted. I can't tell you how many stories, and Rob, I'm sure you're the same way. You know, every week there's a story about somebody who absconds a laptop that was sitting on the back seat of a car while they were stopped right at the local fast food place. Now, you're going
to... Yeah, it's mostly human error. I can hardly blame any of the problems I've had in the past on the technology itself. I mean, obviously, there's sometimes they haven't patched it yet, and Microsoft's been guilty of this as much as anybody. But it's mostly people left their password on their desk and the janitor. we've had several of those. It's like... Really? But I mean, this is the nature of it. This is the nature of too much information flowing through, you know, through the universe.
Exactly. So. Well, let's switch gears. We've been talking about cyber. Let's talk about some of the business scars over the years. And you're going to have a whole lot more stories than I'm going to have on this one. But, you know, what are some of the things you can share out there that, you know, people really need to be watching for in terms of businesses?
Well, there's so many, I have to categorize them because I don't make the same mistake once. You know, that'd be smart just to do that. I make the same mistake over and over, but with slight variations. So it may not look like it's the same mistake, but it is. And I categorize these mistakes by nouns. Remember when we were in school growing up, the teacher defined a noun as a person, place, or thing. And so I have to categorize my mistakes to clearly think through it as nouns. And people.
See, I'm not even that smart to categorize them.
Well, I have to because there's so many. And it's the people. Here's the number one mistake I make because I've had more partners than perhaps anybody on earth that owns some, you know, so many dozens of companies with so many partners. And the number one mistake, and I've made this, I just can't stop making this mistake. And anybody who's out there thinking about having a legal financial partnership, listen to this. Because if you can hire the skills that partner or supposed partner brings, they're not a legal partner. They shouldn't be a legal partner. So let me say that again. If you can go out into the marketplace and hire those skills that person is bringing, they shouldn't be a partner. You should just hire them. And so many times I thought my partner was going to bring a set of unique skills that couldn't be hired. And then when I got right down to it, that was the next mistake I made, which is I didn't do this sort of, I did official background checks, but not the sort of unofficial checks. Because, you know, most people will sell themselves into a situation, and rightly so, because no one else is going to sell you into a situation. But boy, you really have to go deep in people, because most what I found is, people will tell me they have a unique set of skills. On paper, it looks like they have a unique set of skills, but then in action, they don't. And it's like, oh, no, I have a legal partner. It's just that you might as well be married at that point from a legal standpoint. And it's like, ay, ay, ay. But I keep making that mistake. I probably made that 10 times, I bet.
That's so true. And when you get into partnerships, well, and the other one, so you bring in what you think is a unique skill, never, ever have it a 50-50 partnership. There always
right.
has to be, you know, some controlling interest in there. You know, and it kind of goes with my first corporate attorney, Brian Geddes, just a fabulous person before we lost him a few years ago. But he always beat the drum, make sure that you sign the divorce papers before you sign the partnership papers in a business. It goes
yeah,
just
we
what you're talking about.
I mean, yeah, we have the buy, sell agreement, shareholder agreement, all the above. But I got to tell you, it's usually about 3 to 6 months into the partnership, and then it starts dawning on me. I've sort of been sold into something here, and it's like, okay. And then at that point, it's not. I mean, from a legal standpoint, you can divorce, but from a business standpoint, it's problematic.
Very much so.
You got all kinds of stuff in place, so. The another thing with the people, the part of the people noun is, I've been held hostage by system experts in my various companies, because a lot of companies I bought, they had homegrown systems. They just never went out, and whether it's ERP or whatever it is, they never went out and had bought an off-the-shelf system. And you'll have a system expert in the company.
Yeah, and then they try to take it over. That's a great one. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. That's probably the scariest one of all. But, Rob, stay with us. And you're listening to KRDO News Radio, the Business Week in Review. It's 9:27. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. I'm Jeff Beaupre. Rob Slee has been gracious enough to throw in some stories along the way as we try to share some of the pain over the years. Before the break, Rob, you had a great point about partnerships, hire the skills versus making them a partner. And I'll throw a little bit of a story in here as well. And it goes just to your point, Rob, about if you can hire the skills, do it rather than make them legal partners. We were in a situation, it's been a little while back now. It was a software company, and three people involved in it. The management was a little bit sketchy. I'll leave it at that. But the other partners were so worried about their position in the company, what was going on, that one of them actually, we found out later, had buried a Trojan in the software. And this was for the medical industry.
Yes.
And the timer had to be reset every 6 months, or the software would just stop working. Well, you can imagine you've already got the HIPAA violations, all sorts of, it just gives me goosebumps to think about it. Well, to top it off, turned out that it wasn't an employee, it was a partner, passed away suddenly.
Oh, no.
And so now the timer's running. Nobody has the keys to the castle anymore, so to speak.
Wow.
Now what do you do? And they had to close the doors of the company.
Mm.
So right to your point, hire the skills.
Well, you know, there's a corollary to that, too, and that is the more partners you have in any business, the more messed up it's going to be. In all the management buyouts I've done, whenever we had more than three or four, it ended up just being an incredible mess, because most people aren't equipped emotionally to be a partner in a business. They're just not. There's something about being an owner of a business. Normal people don't own businesses. And so you're only going to have so many abnormals,
abnormals.
Frankenstein. Yeah, abnormal people in a company to be, owners. And anytime I've gone five deep partners in a business that I owned or put together, it's just been a nightmare. And I just can't. It's one of these things. It's hard to explain humanity sometimes, but that's just the way it's been. So I bet you other people have had a similar situation as that.
And it's so true. So, and because people's personalities tend to change when they're in a position of power like that.
It's a light switch. It's like a switch goes on and all of a sudden everyone's Machiavellian. It's like, where did all this come from? But and then once it starts, you just can't seem to get it corralled. And then you realize they shouldn't have been a partner to begin with. You go back to the skill sets. I mean, really, did they really have unique skills? Very few people on earth have unique skills, if you think about it. Most of the time, you can hire just about anything. And so, we were talking just before the break about homegrown systems and don't be held hostage. My firm was selling a fair-sized business earlier this year, and they had a homegrown system. The system manager, during due diligence, comes in and says, I'll stay for $250,000. And that's it. Plus, the salary. So this is a blackmail situation of $250,000. And the owner, this is a 20-year employee, too. This isn't somebody they just hired. But that person was the only one who knew the system, right? And so the owner, to his credit, said, okay, I'll walk you out. I'll just walk you out right now. And he went out and spent a couple $100,000 bringing in a whole team of people who figured it out. We got through the closing. It did close. But, I mean, blackmail. But the owner caused that situation by having a homegrown system and not insisting that several people knew it.
Yeah, that's another great takeaway, Rob, is make sure that the management team has the passwords to everything. It's their equipment. They need to own it. We see it a lot in the middle market where,
right,
you know, the support is outsourced, and they own the equipment. They own the licenses. They have the passwords, and people,
right,
they don't know what to do. We're in a situation where that's the case right now, a pretty good-sized company. If their support group walks away, you know, they're up a creek. And it's, so you've really got to keep a handle on it. And like you say, the same way, who is the employee? Are they a stakeholder that have that sort of horsepower along the way? It's
you know, the other major problem I've made, and I just can't stop making it, is expecting my managers, because I'm looking at through a lens of a business owner now, expecting my managers to do what I call greater than $250 an hour tasks or activities. So it, for me to expect them to go out and pick the next niche and resource it properly and build the right system to support it, that's my job. And I can't expect people I hire to do all that. And yet, for, you know, I want their input on it, but if I expect them to go out and create the next patent and to form the IP and all, I mean, and what I find is so many owners want to be so passive now that they just expect their management team to do all that. I got to tell you, even for a mid-sized business, the ownership still has to sort of drive the bus to that next, to the next destination. You can't expect hired help to do all that. You can't expect them to run the business effectively, and that I expect. But I'm not going to expect my my employees to sit there and do my job, and it's a mistake. For some reason, I want to make again and again.
You bring up a very key point, Rob. We see this where, you know, the company's fairly successful, and the management team or the owner, they're almost in a retirement mode. Like, oh, you know, this is
right,
just making money. I'm just going to let it run loose, and I'm going to go fishing or whatever it is.
Right.
And something comes up, and then you have a problem, and it has an impact on the business. That's a very good point.
Well, we see that ends up being the half-active owner ends up, that business rarely grows, nor does it end up being a sellable business at the end of the day, because you would think by empowering the managers, you know, that would make it a more sellable business, but that's empowering them on a tactical level, not on a strategic level. It's very difficult, even for large companies, and I'm talking like $500 million in sales and above, to find management teams that will just take over strategically and tactically. That's one of those skills that's hard to hire. I always say I can't hire strategic skill sets, because it's just, I got to almost have that as a partner. That's one of those things I need as a partner.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you bring up a good point about, you know, how do you position a business to sell it? So you've got maybe that part-time manager. How do you get them re-engaged? How do you really position a business to sell it? Because, I mean, that's a big part of what you do.
Yeah, and you want to title the owners to be passive chair people, you know, chairman, chairwoman. But on the other hand, if they've been that way for, you know, years and there's no vitality in the business, it's just sort of going sideways, you know, you can sell those businesses because the next ownership will view themselves as more active in that, but you're not going to get a, you know, the high price that you'd like. So it's a tricky situation. You have to be both involved in the business strategically, but if you have your fingerprints on the business, that's how we always liken it. You want your fingers on the pulse of the business, but not your fingerprints on the business. You don't want to be doing your manager's jobs for them, but you also have to set the destination for that business. And that's the problem I see, that we can't sell business because it's not clear where the destination is for the business at some point once ownership backs out for about 2 years. It's no longer clear where that business is going as a business, and that's really tough to sell.
That's a very good point. You know, when the business loses direction, that's a great title for a whole nother show. When you lose direction, what do you do with a business? How do you get it reengaged? Or does it get eclipsed by a competitor?
It does. That's what we're seeing with this. That we're in this era, and you talk so much about it in your show, this exponential change that technology enables. And, you know, once it goes against you, good luck, especially if you've been an owner who's sort of fishing and hunting. You know, the technology changes so fast. In all of my businesses, I feel like I've got about 18 months that unless I'm constantly recreating it, I've got a problem, it meaning everything, from the model to the technology support systems. If I would take my eye off the ball for 18 or 24 months in any of my businesses, I might as well not put my eye back on the ball because everything will have changed, and I don't think I'll understand it well enough to get back to the competition. So that's how quick the game is now. It's just in our, as you know, as you and I have grown up, that whole game has changed from incremental to exponential change.
That is so true. Well, we're going to wrap this up in the final segment. Some great points, and Rob, I want you to talk a little bit about that publication you've got out about working for $5,000 an hour. We want to take another look.
Yeah, I think that time really is money. I have a billionaire, one of the richest people on earth, is my partner in a business, and he told me 4 or 5 years ago he works for $10 million an hour, meaning creates value, that much value.
Does he need an assistant? I'm available.
I'm that. He's gotten that for 15, 20 years, and he's been able to create tens upon tens of billions of dollars of wealth. And he told me all the billionaires he knows, over 100 of them. He knows over 100 billionaires really well because they kind of hang together, you know. They all work for over $5 million an hour.
That's pretty amazing.
Of course, got me thinking, why can't we just ratchet that down a little bit? All of us have higher hourly rates than what we do right now to create value.
Exactly.
That's what I've done. And I think most people around me now are sort of thinking more about how they invest every hour of their life. We all should do that. We all should think, don't spend an hour. You're investing an hour.
That's absolutely right.
Get a return on that.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about this. Stay with us. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. It is just before 9:48 in the morning. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Beaupre, and you're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. We appreciate everybody joining us for our Halloween slant on business and cyber. I want to thank Rob Slee of Robertson Thompson. Rob, it's always great to have you on the program and just great business discussions. Before the break, we were talking about the management teams and focusing on strategic work. Rob, you were talking about, I want to work for $10 million an hour. I could do that for a couple hours and I'd be okay.
Well, that's what he does. You know, it's funny. It's funny you'd say that. My partner probably works only 3 or 4 hours in a conventional sense because there's only so many $10 million an hour activities a week, you know? And what are we talking about there? Picking the right acquisition, making sure you have the right CEO. You know, it's world-changing stuff, obviously. But you only get 15-minute increments of his time. So when I have, like, I have a big project right now that he and I co-own, and it's a couple $100 million investment. So that's $10 million. I need his thoughts on this.
And that's a key point.
That's it.
You know, you've got to be spending that time on those strategic issues. You're not putting paper in the printer or, you know, something else. It's really got to be from a strategic point of view.
Exactly. What we've learned is all of us, this goes down to all of us. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking just billionaires now, that we all have unique capabilities. There's certain things we really do well. What if you organized your whole life and just did those? So you use systems to do all or outsourced or other people to do the loading of the paper and the printer, but you just focused on key account sales, or you just focused on picking the right niche, or you just focused on building the next system, whatever your unique capability is. What if all of a sudden you spent 20 hours a week on that rather than how we've all been trained to work, which is if work hits your desk, you do the work regardless of value addedness or not. And does it add value or not? Nobody ever asked that question.
That's so true. And you bring up a very good point. Another takeaway is, as we start to wrap up, is people have to understand their own strengths and weaknesses. You have to be honest with yourself and say, I'm good at this, I'm not good at that. And like you say, you categorize it, you bring in those skill sets, whether you hire them or you have a partner, then you can focus on what really counts. So you really got to know what your personality is like.
And what you love to do. You know, a lot of this, you're good at certain things. We're all good at certain things because, you know, that's just what we enjoy doing. I mean, I don't want to make this too complicated. And over time, if you enjoy doing it, you do it better. You get pleasure from doing it. Why don't you organize your business life around doing that? And you'll just find that you can 10X. generate 10 times more than what you ever thought you could just by focusing on value-added activities rather than getting on the forklift or being on the phone or, you know, tapping on a computer all day. If you have other skill sets, feed them.
That's so true. That is so true. Well, Rob, I really appreciate you being on the program for our Halloween special. All the best in Halloween. We've got some big kid activities coming up on Wednesday. And we wish the best and happy Halloween to all of our listeners. And again, if you have any questions or input, by all means, go to businessweekinreview.com and send it to. And again, Rob, thanks for being there.
Thank you, Jeff.
Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.